Welcome to the ASC podcast, Cytopath Pod. Join special guests to highlight ASC activities in cytopathology education, advocacy, and research.
Hello, ASC community. In 2017, I was really fortunate to be in the room with Dr. Ed Seibas and Dr. Brian Collins as we were starting to talk about what would be something really fun and interesting for our community that rewarded research endeavors, but would really showcase the passion and the excitement that cytology research could bring. And in that room, the idea of Shark Tank was born. And it became very clear that we couldn't put young investigators on a stage to be judged and voted upon without giving them the skill set for how to actually do it. And so in that same room, it was born the idea of once the candidates were selected to actually bring them together with a coach on public speaking and specifically geared towards describing your research to a relatively naive audience. So that's where it was born. And I want to fast forward to the first Shark Tank in 2017. There were lights, there was video, there was a packed room. And our three candidates came out waving, cheering, excited. They got up on stage and they nailed it, every single one of them. And if you were in the audience at that time, you would have just seen well-polished, amazing presentations. But if you were me or Heather Barnes, the coach who had worked with them, you would have been crying because the transformation that these three went through was palpable and just truly awesome. Well, Shark Tank has been on hiatus for the last few years, but we're bringing it back this year. And so we thought it would be really fun to revisit what it was like in 2017 with the winner of Shark Tank, Dr. Vivian Weiss, and to have this podcast. So welcome to the Shark Tank podcast of 2024, and welcome, Vivian Weiss.
Thank you.
It is so exciting to see you here, mainly because I knew you when you were a baby shark. And now you're your own amazing person, and you're on the executive board and you're speaking. I see your name all over the place. Not that Shark Tank did that, but I just am so giddy that it at least maybe helped with a springboard.
I actually would argue a little bit with you there, Kristen, because I would say Shark Tank played a tremendous role in getting me to where I am today. So maybe Shark Tank did do that because I was just starting out as a faculty member. I wasn't speaking or getting invited to speak anywhere when I started as Shark Tank. And I was just starting my research lab and deciding what I wanted to study and how I wanted to put a project together. And Shark Tank really helped me become more thoughtful about my science, more thoughtful about how I communicated that science, both to colleagues and to the public. And Shark Tank really helped me develop mentorship within the ASC to help build a career where I blend cytology and research. And so I actually think that Shark Tank has been a tremendous opportunity for me, and I wouldn't be where I am today without it.
Wow. Okay, that was quite the response. And for those listening, I promise I did not pay her to say that. I did write down a few things that you said because there was a lot to unpack there. I wonder if you could start first with, when you say it taught you to communicate, right? We're all doctors and we have had to speak to patients and have had to communicate. So what was it that made this different? Like, what did you learn? You're at the end of your residency, you're starting your facultyhood What do you mean when you said it taught you how to communicate?
I think as we go through our training, we are taught to communicate to other doctors and as a scientist, right, to other scientists using quite a bit of jargon. And I think that is not only accepted, but often expected, right? That you use the language. I mean, how often, even during medical school, are you on the wards and someone says, oh, no, this is the right term for that, right? And so we learn how to very efficiently communicate the critical information in a very jargon-filled way. And the problem with that is that works very well in certain clinical situations. But when we are trying to communicate something that's unique to what we study, to our colleagues or to the public, a lot of the information we want to communicate gets lost when we fill our language with jargon and we rush through and we put too much detail in. And so the Shark Tank competition and the training involved with that really taught me how to distill down the information I wanted to communicate into understandable, you know, jargon-less packages that I could use to improve communication. Because if I'm talking about my science and the person that's listening has no idea what I'm talking about, then we really can't have a beneficial conversation where I grow from that and they grow from that experience.
Yeah, I love that. So let me just see if I can encapsulate what you just said. So we get very familiar in our own terms and talking to people who understand us. And then it's really hard to remember what it's like when you leave that venue. And so using the right words and the right analogies and to be able to communicate your message is something that we don't really get much training in.
Correct.
Yeah. We see this problem all the time, though, don't you think? Like, you just go to the doctor's office. The other day, I was just listening to a patient and she got a recorded message from another clinic, and it said, your biopsy is negative. And I heard them talking, this patient, and they and the person said, well, what does that mean? And I mean, I didn't interject. I just heard them talking. And I was like, well, I guess I don't really know. And this was a Friday, and I'm listening to them go back and forth and back and forth. And I'm dying of curiosity. I'm like, what was it negative for? But then I just started thinking about this poor patient now has to go all weekend without knowing what negative actually means. So we see this all the time. And I think it's easy to forget that we can fall prey to it as well.
Right. And along that line, it's easy to forget that, you know, we think we're communicating well to our colleagues. And we maybe know that we have to change our language when we talk to patients, but we think when we talk to colleagues that they're on board and they are understanding of it. But in fact, when we fill our language with complex acronyms and all of it, our colleagues sometimes don't even understand what we're saying. And so, and then that, like, critical communication for patient care and for research and all of these other things gets lost.
Great. So amazing. So how did that happen? Can you talk about what Shark Tank offered you and what that looks like in order to get to that recognition and practice?
Right. So first, I submitted an application with all the detailed components about my research plan and strategy and resume and letters of recommendation, et cetera. And then,
like a grant. Yes.
The grant. And then 3 grants were selected to move on to the Shark Tank live session and all of the training. And so then the ASC flew the 3 contestants out to get improv scientific communication training with Heather Barnes, which was a 2-day training session that focused on how we could better communicate our science. And that is where the meat of this training and really critical realization about how poorly I was communicating prior to this training occurred. And then we had some follow-up and some phone calls, and then the final Shark Tank presentation happened in the fall of the annual meeting.
So I remember walking into the room and you and Eric and Sanchita were all in there. You had all arrived. And all three of you were sitting at different tables and looking through the folder. There was zero talking. And I got giggly. I thought, oh, they're consummate pathologists. So you use the word improv training, and I would imagine for most pathologists, if they hear the word improv, the next thought will be, no way.
Yeah.
Not interested, not checking that box. So what would you say to those people?
I would say that I was right there with them. I did not particularly think I was going to enjoy improv training. I was quite terrified. The night that I flew out, I thought about just unpacking my bag and finding some way to cancel, because this idea of flying for 2 days of improvisation, not just with the other two amazing contestants, but with your mentors all there as well. And I mean, people that became my mentors, Kristen, Gulise, Ritu Nayar, they were like leaders in the field. They still are. And I just had idolized them for so long. And so to fly to have this improv class with these famous people that I looked up to, and I was just absolutely terrified. But I will say that it was probably one of the best experiences of my professional career. And I think that your description of the three of us sitting alone at desks, not talking, we are the closest of friends now. And it really was a remarkable experience that I can't even really fully put into words.
Yeah. One of the things Heather does is really exemplifies just this idea that you can learn principles if you take your self-interest out. So when you can learn speaking things, and if you don't make it about your research, and if you don't make it about something that's near and dear to you, then it just becomes about the ability to communicate. And then you don't take it so personally. So who cares if you fail at a game, right? But the debriefing and the purpose and the points of the game can really resonate, so that then when you do talk about your research, you've got this toolkit to kind of work with. I'm wondering, is there any particular moment that you remember? I know that was a while ago and I didn't prep you for this question at all. Do you remember any activity that you did that you thought, oh, this is actually going to be really useful? I know you said the whole weekend was good, and I'm curious, like, are there moments that maybe you do with any of your mentees or residents? Or
yes, I think that there are so many moments. I think there was the first moment where I thought, okay, I'm going to survive this, because if I wasn't sure when I walked in that room that I was going to make it through the day, I was so terrified. And then Heather had us together, and I can't even remember the exercise. I don't know if we were making animal motions and sounds and walking around the room, but I thought, like, I cannot do this. And then I look over and Kristen, you're doing it. And Ritu's like really excited into it. And I thought, well, goodness, if they can do it, then I sure I will be an elephant or whatever it was, you know? And so that moment, it suddenly occurred to me that we're all just people and we're just all there learning, and we are there to just enjoy this experience. And so I thought, like, okay, wow, well, I can do this, you know? So that was a very important moment for me to kind of open up and realize that I was going to make it through, and that this was going to be a rewarding experience as a team. And I think the other moment in the session that really resonated with me was when Heather brought in an outside audience of people, you know, not within our group and not within pathology, to hear our talks. Because it really, and I mean, you can practice this with family at home, true, too, right? But they sort of know what you do, at least on some level. But to have people that have no idea what you do and you're giving your talk to them really made me realize the core communication skills that I had. and some of the things I needed to do getting their feedback to improve.
Yeah, I think sometimes the hard part is once you see a little glimmer into how it can be done effectively, it's painful when you see people do it poorly. When you're like, oh, this doesn't need to be so hard. And there are some really simple tools that you could incorporate into your speaking style that would make it so much more effective.
Correct. Yes.
Just to put people at ease, you know, when we say improv, I think people think about humor, being funny, being witty. And I love improv, and I would never describe myself as any of those things. So what, how would you define improv? Like, what is it that makes it improvisational?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. You know, I thought going into this that it was going to be improv, like on a stage, humor, exactly as you described. And really for me, what the experience taught me is to be in the moment. And not in a way that's necessarily funny or, but really to interact with your audience, look at the facial expression of the people in the audience. Do they have any idea what you're talking about? Or do they look very confused? Because maybe I need to dial this back. And rather than going on some sort of rote memorized speech that you're going to give about your work, really being flexible in that moment to change things and to vary it up and to respond to questions in a way that is productive and it is really a communicative interaction rather than me giving a monologue.
I love that. Sometimes people will describe improv as the quote, yes, and that whatever is given to you, you're going to take it, receive it, and elevate it. And so if somebody's confused, to yes and them means, ooh, okay, they don't understand. So I need to pivot and change my approach. And how do you make people care? And whatever they throw at me, whatever doubt, fear, kindness, whatever it is, you're going to take it and receive it and build off of it. And when you're in a group like that, you're right. Like, it doesn't matter whether you were a former president of the ASC or whether you're in your first few months of being faculty, because that's the whole task, is to work together and to be uncomfortable and comfortable with being uncomfortable and knowing that everybody is doing that.
Right. And you're right that being uncomfortable can be a miserable experience, and it takes practice to be okay in those moments where it is uncomfortable. And I think to be able to do what you said, which is if the audience is confused, to pivot in the middle of potentially a big talk with a huge audience, to be able to do that, you have to be okay being a little bit uncomfortable, and you have to be able to lean into that moment and communicate effectively rather than relying on rote, memorized statements that may not be a good fit for the audience.
Yeah, I think in academic medicine, we're really taught to self-promote, whereas improv takes you away from that. And it is all about your partner. And sometimes your partner in this case is the audience or the judges or your peers. It just that partner will change. And it is kind of freeing in a way to make it not about yourself.
Yep. And to let go of a lot of that jargon is difficult. Let go of a lot of the things that we think make us look smart or sound good, or, you know, fancy data on a slide packed with data. You know, that's what we come to think of as good science, good presentation. But in fact, letting go of that and communicating on a level that everyone can understand actually leads to much better presentations, in my opinion, and better interaction with the audience.
Amazing. All right. I want to pivot. Speaking of pivoting, you also mentioned mentorship in ASC. What did you mean by that? How did this affect that?
So I would say that aside from learning how to improve my communication, one of the best things about the Shark Tank is the mentorship. There are leaders within the ASC that you might not normally get a chance to interact with closely, that are involved with the Shark Tank process on many levels, whether it be like Kristen and Ritu and Felice, who came with us to the improv and did it with us, or whether it's the actual sharks when you give the presentation that you get to interact with. But there are quite a few people within the ASC and within the leadership of the ASC that you get to interact with, you get to know, that are excited to see you give your presentation and go through this process and develop as communicator. And so those bonds that you form and that mentorship that begins with the Shark Tank has for me continued for many years since. And so I have many collaborations with Sanchita and Eric, my co-contestants. We are very close and we work together quite a bit. And then I have reached out to all members of the Shark Tank community for advice and mentorship over the years. And it really has been tremendous. And so I think not only does the Shark Tank teach us how to be good communicators, but it also helps get you connected within the ASC community and form these long-lasting relationships and mentorship.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it, that we're talking about a research award, and yet the majority of this podcast is about community. It is about yes. The friendships fostered, the mentorship fostered. It's pretty telling, isn't it, about what is really important?
Yes.
In our opinion. Well, so speaking of which, let's get into the nitty gritty. How about the award? So what did you do with that? What was asked of you afterwards?
Great question. So I took the monetary award and I used that to sequence a number of patient tumors. So we actually ended up developing a large patient cohort here at Vanderbilt. We sequenced over 300 tumors. And I actually used that money to create data that could be preliminary data for many other award applications. And so that allowed me to build a very robust research lab with lots of funding and publications by having that initial seed funding to start those projects and to get that initial data. And so that was a fantastic way for me to launch my research lab by having that initial money to collect the data. Aside from the money, the other thing that was asked of me was to give, you know, a progress report or an update as to what I had accomplished and what I had done with the money. And so that's just a small report that you write up that shows that you are using the money and that you are using the money for promotion of your research and science.
Amazing. So it's just occurred to me that all of this preparation was for your actual presentation. And we've talked about the before and the preparation and the after, but what was it actually like the day of and actually doing it?
That's a great question. I actually think it was less stressful the day of than it would have been otherwise, because, you know, we as a group kind of all met right before the Shark Tank session and we warmed up and kind of had some relaxation exercises. And Heather was really great about like teaching me some things that I could do right before to kind of just reduce some of the anxiety right before walking out. So like as Sanchita and Eric walked out, I wasn't allowed to watch them, but I like had to stand there. And so I did some of those exercises to relax a little bit. But it was a tremendous experience with the audience and you're up there now with your friends. I mean, after all this time, right? So you have all the support that you wouldn't have had otherwise or wouldn't have realized you had otherwise, that really it's this community. And I had this conversation with Sanchita and Eric right before we went out, and it no longer mattered to us who won the money. I mean, and who won the Shark Tank. We were just so grateful for the experience and the friendships and the mentorship and everything that we had gotten through this experience, that at that point we were just going to have fun, get up there and try to put in place all that we learned.
Amazing. So do you want to tell everybody your role in Shark Tank 2024?
Yes. So I am helping to lead Shark Tank 2024. I will be involved in the process and the improv and kind of designing, you know, with Heather and Kristen and the whole team, what this experience is going to look like for these next generation of contestants. And then I will be involved in the actual Shark Tank presentation up on stage, helping to organize that as well. So really, really excited to be involved in this from the other perspective, because it was so much fun the first time around.
I love it. Even today, your enthusiasm is just bursting through. I just love it.
I really hope that my enthusiasm comes across to everybody listening, because I can't think of a better way to learn, showcase your research, and become part of the ASC community. This was really one of the best professional experiences of my career. And I will promise you that Sanchita and Eric feel the same. And I think that this is really a tremendous opportunity that the ASC is providing. And we're so fortunate to get to do this again. So I really hope that the community is excited about participating and supporting the Shark Tank this year.
Amazing. I have to say, on a personal note, as I start hitting towards the latter part of my career, it is so gratifying to see the younger generation like you. I can't believe I'm using these words, but the younger generation, my legacy, right? Like, it is, you are the pathlings that are coming up, and it participating in something like this and getting to know younger members well and being able to help elevate them and help sponsor just brings so much professional satisfaction. So I'm thrilled that it's happening again this year and thrilled that I get to still participate. Vivian, you are a gem, truly. And I am so glad that our community has you. I'm so glad you're so active in the ASC and thrilled beyond belief that we get to work together again in Shark Tank, but this time as complete peers. And we can giggle at the people looking at their folders only in the beginning together.
Well, Kristen, you're too kind. I am eternally grateful for all the opportunities that the ASC has given me. And I am so grateful for your friendship and mentorship over the years. And I just cannot wait to sort of continue to pass that along to our more junior ASC members, because I can't wait to see all the incredible things that they accomplish and do. And I can't wait to be on the other side of the Shark Tank experience.
All right. So you heard it here on Shark Tank 2024. All you have to do now is get your mini grant together and submit it. And we hope to see you at our Shark Tank improv session and see you up on stage in November.
See you in November.
Thank you for listening to Cytopath Pod. You can reach ASC on Twitter at cytopathology or via email at asc@cytopathology.org.